the beginning of Parshas Bishalach, the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved with Ikach Moshe Satzmas Yosef Imay. So there's a medrash on this pasuk that quotes the pasuk in Mishlei Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvah Zem Moshe Rabbeinu, that everybody else was Nesasek and Bizas Mitzrayim. Rabbeinu instructed them everyone should knock on the next door neighbor's doors and ask for matonas on Erev Pesach of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not take care of that. He was busy taking care of Atzmas Yosef. And that's what the pasuk says, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Chacham Lev. Instead of doing Bizas Mitzrayim, took care of Atzmas Yosef. So I was just discussing a few minutes ago with Rabbi Shulman, why is that Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvah? If Moshe Rabbeinu was given a Hayra Shoah that everyone is supposed to ask for a Matana, so why didn't he do that as well? I didn't understand. So Rabbi Shulman suggested we should research it. He suggested maybe since Shevet Levi was not involved in the Shibud, then maybe they didn't have to ask for Matanas. Maybe the whole Shevet Levi was exempt from asking for Matanas. So the whole Shevet Levi was twiddling their thumbs on Erev Pesach. So Moshe Rabbeinu was... Ikach Moshe Satzmi says if Imana, we should look up that medrash. Let's talk about Pshat in that medrash. When Bnei Yisrael were going towards Yamsuf, Parahikriv, and Bnei Yisrael got petrified, Yisrael Bnei Yisrael say name, Vahina Mitzrayim Nosei Acharem, Vayirum Yod, they got scared, Vayitzak Bnei Yisrael Al Hashem. Vayomra Moshe, they tell Moshe Rabbeinu sarcastically, Amibli Enk Varim Mitzrayim, Lakachton Olomas Bamidbar, not enough graves, there are no cemetery spots in Egypt that you took us to die in the Midbar. A very strange way of presenting it. So Rabbi Hirsch has an interesting comment. He says, throughout the history, the Jews were always better comedians than the non-Jews. He suggests the reason why, because when a person is under pressure, when he suffers redifus, so in order to remain sane, he has to crack jokes. So he says, that's what they're saying over here. They're ready to drop dead. They're standing by the Yamsuf, there's no way to go ahead. They can't go backwards. So they start cracking jokes, and they say, no plots of cemeteries in Egypt that you took us to die in the desert. I think it's true in recent years that I recall. I think the Jews are the bigger comedians. So he thinks that it was always like that. He has the comment on this pasuk. Right before Kriyas Yamsuf, so Bnei Yisrael don't know what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu says, calm down. Al tiro, don't be afraid. Hisyatzvu ruru as Hashem. Baruch Shalom is going to give you Yeshua. Hashem Yelochem Lochem Atem Tacharishim. Baruch Shalom is going to run the Mochama. You just keep still. So the Loshen Yelochem is Miloshen Mochama. So Rab Meir Bar Ilan, Rab Meir Berlin, was the son of the Netziv from his second wife. The first wife died, and he had to look for a Shidduch, so his niece, Meir Bar Ilan, wrote a whole book about his father, about the Netziv, that's entitled Rabban Shal Yisrael, is printed by the Mizrahi, because Rabbi Meir Bar Ilan was involved in the Mizrahi a lot. Rabbi Chaim Ulin was the son from the first wife, Rabbi Meir Bar Ilan was the son from the second wife. So he has a whole chapter about his mother, that his mother was the daughter of the Aruch HaShulchan, and Netziv's sister was married to the Aruch HaShulchan. And the Aruch HaShulchan's daughter got married, and then she decided that her husband is not learning. She decided he's an Amor, so she ran away from him. And it was against the law to run away from your husband, so the police were looking for her. She was hiding in the forests, and then she ran back to her parents' home. So the parents said to her, Meshugana, who's going to marry you? Who says the husband is going to give you a get? You may remain an Aguna for the rest of your life, and who's going to marry a Grusha? It wasn't in style then. Now we're out of style. Every other person, more than half the people are getting divorced today. But then it was not in style at all. So she said she'd rather remain in Aguna for the rest of her life than remain with the husband, because he's not married. So what happened was, he did give her a get, and she was waiting around by her parents. So then the Meshulach came from the Balojan Yeshiva to say that they needed money, and he mentioned that the Rosh Yeshiva's wife passed away, and they're looking for a Shidduch. So she said, the uncle knows how to learn, she'll be prepared to marry the uncle. There was a significant age gap between the two of them, something like 20 years or so, maybe more than 20 years. So they thought she was crazy, and then that was the end of the story, was she married the uncle. She married the uncle. I think he writes, Rabbi Bar Ilan writes in the story that in the Merabban Shal Yisrael, when he writes that chapter about his mother, so he writes that that was when the father, the Aruch HaShulchan, was switching his Rabbanis, when he went to Navarduk. So at the time the Mishulach came, I forgot already what city he was a Rav in, but it was before Navarduk. So they made up that Mrs. Aruch HaShulchan will go with the daughter to some midpoint to meet the Netziv, to meet her brother, and he'll see the daughter, the niece, and decide whether he wants to marry or not. And the father was busy negotiating with his rabbanus in Navarduk, so he didn't even go to clinch the shidduch. So Meir Bar Ilan was born from the second wife. So he has a whole book that was written originally in Yiddish, from Valozhin to Yerushalayim, the way he was brought up in Valozhin, and then Hakamas Amedina, and then he came to Eretz Yisrael, the whole, why he joined the Mizrahi, why he was one of the organizers of the Mizrahi, and so on and so forth. So they translate it into Hebrew. It's interesting reading. So he writes funny things there. He has a chapter about Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, he has a chapter about all the different characters, all the different personalities in Valozhin Yeshiva. So he writes that there was one Malamed, it was Yadua, that he, when he came to this Pasuk, he used to say the wrong Taich. He thought that Lechem, Yilochem Lechem is Miloshen Lechem, not Miloshen Mochama. The Rebbe Shalom will make the bread, but you have to do the Harisha, attempt Harisha. You have to do the plowing. And Yiddish folklore, the same like that. That the Jew has to do a little hishtadlos, but then if you do a little hishtadlos, then the Rebbe Shalom will complete the job for you. So this Malamed used to teach all the time, and everybody used to laugh about it. Hashem Elohim Lechem, the Rebbe Shalom will make the Lechem, and you have to plow. You have to do your hishtadlos. So he writes there, everybody in Valozhin used to laugh about this Malamed, that he didn't know how to teach pshat in the Pasuk. But then he quotes, I think, that his father, the Netziv, pointed out that there is such an interpretation in the Medrash on Yelochim, that Yelochim is Miloshen Lechem. I didn't look in the Medrash. He says there is such an Tachrishon that it goes on plowing, that's not in the Medrash. That's in Yiddish folklore, that the Malamed made a mistake. But the first one, Hashem Yelochim Lechem, the Medrash has such a comment that there is an additional level of interpretation that it's referring to bread. The Pasuk says that as Bnei Yisrael were right about to have Kriyas Yamsuf, and so on. So Rashi HaMasecha Sukkah points out that you have three psukim in a row, chapter Yudal, the Pasuk Yutas, Pasuk Chof, Pasuk Chof Aleph. All the three psukim have 72 letters, and if you take the first letter of the first Pasuk and the last letter of the second Pasuk, the first letter of the third Pasuk, that's a Shem Hashem. Take the second letter of the first Pasuk and next to the last letter of the second Pasuk and the second letter of the third Pasuk, you have another one of the Shemus Hashem. So you have 72 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each name has three letters. So Rashi comments on the famous Mishnah, Anivahu Hoshiano. What does it mean, Anivahu Hoshiano? What do the words mean? The Rashi says that Ani in Vahu, Vav Hei Vav, are two of the 72 Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that consists of three letters each, and he writes up this whole story. This whole story doesn't appear anywhere in the Talmud, doesn't appear anywhere in the Midrashim. Rashi got it from the Zohar, because apparently Rashi knew the Zohar. Rashi had access to extra sources that we usually don't read. It's a question, how old is the Zohar? So if Rashi has this comment, he must have had the Zohar. There's a famous Medrash on the second of the three Pesukim, on Pasuk Chuf, Ayovai, the Malach went, Bein Machni Mitzrayim, Bein Machni Yisrael, Hiyonah, V'choshech, V'yoris HaLayla, V'lokorab Zeh El Zeh Kol HaLayla. Machni Mitzrayim was chasing after Machni Yisrael, and they weren't able to come close to them, because the Amud HaAnon was Achareim. The Amud HaOnan protected Bnei Yisrael, so the Machne Mitzrayim, the soldiers, couldn't attack the Bnei Yisrael. So the Lashon of the Pasuk of Korav Ze El Ze sounds a little bit like the Korav Ze El Ze V'yamar, by the Malachim singing Shira. So there's a famous Medrash on this Pasuk that says that on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Mitzrayim drowned, Biksha Malachi Al Sharas Loim Ashira, they want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, And the Rebbeinu Shlom said that it's not proper. It's not proper. If human beings, sof kol sof, the mitzvim were human beings, were drowning, so it's not proper that they should say the shira. So that's the famous medrash. So makshim ha'olam, that's the velte es tekasha, but Moshe Rabbeinu said oz yashir. The Chumash records the shiras oz yashir. So apparently it is proper. So what do you mean the malachim were told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's improper. So they give different suggestions. So there's one famous suggestion that Bnei Yisrael suffered at the hands of the Mitzrayim. So they had a right to say, sure, the Malachim were strangers, they were outsiders, they were not suffering at the hands of the Mitzrayim. So it's not proper, sof kol sof, the Mitzrayim were human beings, so it's not proper. V'nefolo yivchal tismach. V'nefolo yivchal tismach says that even the person himself shouldn't rejoice. But to say shira, yes. But the Malachim, it's not proper that they should say Shira. So they say, Rab Chaim Alojener said that answer. They attribute that explanation to many different Gedolim. So Rab Chaim Alojener gave a mashal of a daima that a Jew came to visit a certain community, and it wasn't Tu B'Shvat, and it wasn't Purim, and it wasn't Hanukkah or anything. He sees the people are celebrating, they're dancing and singing, they have a whole party. So he asked, what Yontav is it today? So he said, no, it's a local celebration, because there was a local... One of the Jewish people always was a masser. He would always masser all the people to the government, and they would take away their money. And finally, the masser dropped dead. So they're celebrating that the masser dropped dead. Oh, now that he knows what the celebration is, so he's also dancing and singing. So the rabbi went over to this Jew, and he says, look here. The Jews who lived in the community always suffered at the hands of the masser, so we have a right to celebrate. You're an outsider. What are you celebrating? A Jewish person died. It's not proper to celebrate over his death. So that's Rab Chaim Alojin. Apparently there was such an incident. So Rab Chaim Alojin has said, that Moshel can explain this theory. I remember hearing many years ago, one of the Rabbonim who survived the death camps during the Second World War. So he said when they were, when the Allied soldiers came and they freed them all from the Nazis, and they took all the Nazis as prisoners, so they were discussing singing Shira at that time. Should they say Hallel when they were freed by the American armies? So one of them said, Biksha Malach Asher Eslaim Shira. He gave a different, this interpretation is in the Svarim from centuries ago. So Biksha Malach Asher Eslaim Shira, they understood that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants to kill the Mitzrayim, the soldiers. So the Malachim said, let's sing Shira. So why do they have to drown in Misa Mishuna? Let's sing Shira, and they'll die from the beauty of listening to the Shira that we'll sing. Because there's such a medrash that, where is it in Sefer Malachim? When the Goyish kings surrounded Yerushalayim. Oh, yeah, I forgot already the story. The Malachim sang Shira, and the Goyish soldiers dropped dead from the beauty of the Shira.
Sancheira,
I think. I think the Medrash says Sancheira's army, a lot of them died because the beauty of the Shira, the neshamas just went out. So Biksha Malach Yashar Islaim Shira to kill the Mitzrayim. Rabbeinu Shlom said, what do you mean? They were drowning my children. And you should have them die by listening to Shira. Let them drop dead with a Misa Mishuna. Rabbeinu Shlom said, Maisa Yadei Tov Mayam, the Mitzrayim are drowning Jews. Atam Amrim Shira. You want to let the Mitzrayim get away with dying with such a pleasant death? Let them die by drowning. They were killing the Jewish people. So the interpretation of the Medrash is just the reverse, that the Malachim wanted to cause the Mitzrayim to die a pleasant death, that she have a Yetzias Neshama, the Neshama should go out by listening to the beauty of the Shira. And the Rabbeinu Shlom said, no, they deserve a Misa Mishuna. So that's what this Rav said in many of the death camps after they were redeemed by the American armies, by the Allied army. So they said that they were all singing Shira with the death of the Nazis. Taisus in Erechin has a discussion. The Daf Yomi people are learning Erechin. Taisus in Erechin quotes an opinion from the Medrash that when they crossed over the Yamsuf, they didn't go from one side to the other. They crossed the Yamsuf, it was a semicircle. They went in and they went out the same side. Then Taisus has an opinion, Taisus quotes it from the Medrash. There's an opinion in the Medrash that each one of the Shvatim went separately. So there were 12 different semicircles. Each Shevet went in its own semicircle, they came out the same side. I don't remember already the Tosfos in Erech, and they have printed a diagram in the middle of the Tosfos with the 12 rows. I don't remember, is that what Tosfos says to explain? You read the Psukim here, it says the story twice. That's in Pasuk Chav Beis. Then it says, and then they drowned, and then it says again. Why does it say a second time? It's problematic. So I don't remember. Maybe Tosfos gives this medrash in order to explain why it says it twice. That once they came out the same side, and then the second time they had to go through again.
And the Vilna Gaon says that the reason was is because initially they, when they first went in, it was the rest of the Shvatim, and then for the walls that this is what Rabbi Lotan Kibuai said that the walls were like the it says b'toch hayam b'yabash b'toch the first one says b'toch
hayam b'yabash sure
right so the first one was that they go on the land in the middle of the water because it was the Shvatim who were like this more like righteous Shvatim. And then the second one is the land within the.
Second one says Fakir by
Yabash. That's Sheva Dan. Sheva Dan went in last, and they were carrying the pestle of Micha. So that's why it wasn't. They were like, it wasn't such a like miracle because they went. It was less of a thing that they went in the water. In the midst of the, I think it's what Golan says.
I mean, there's the Shinu Loshim. Once it says by Yabash B'Sachayim, and it says by B'Sachayim by Yabash.
That's to explain. Over there. That's
yeah. There's something here, because the same pasuk is written twice, before and after, and it says Shinuyim, right? So the Midrashim have a lot to discuss here. There's a famous comment that Medrash has, Vayet Moshe's Yod, after the Mitzriim soldiers went into the Yamsuf, Vayabosha, Vayet Moshe's Yod al Hayom, Vayoshev Hayom Lifnos Boker Le'esano Uvitzrayim Nasim Likrosav and Arishem Es Mitzrayim B'Sach Hayom, and then they all drown. So how do you translate Vayoshev Hayom Lifnos Boker Le'esano? Eson means strength, L'tokfo HaRishon. Rashi says the Yamsuf was flowing. So Moshe Rabbeinu waved his hand and the Yamsuf started to flow back again and all the Mitzrayim drowned. That's the Pashup Shat. So there's a comment that the Medrash says that the word Eson is the same letters as Tanai, that originally when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Tanai Hisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maisa Bereshis, that when Bnei Yisrael will come to the Yamsuf, it should split. This is the Rambam has a long arichas on this. He has one of the chapters in the Shemana Prokim. The Rambam has an introduction to Pirkei Avos. That, for lack of a better title, is known as the Shemana Prokim LaRambam. Has eight chapters. So one of the chapters, he talks about this, and whenever a Ness occurs today, it's really part of the Ness of Briyas Olam. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he instituted all the Chukei HaTeva, and then he put in fine print quirks that in case Bnei Yisrael will come to the Yamsuf, when the time comes, the Yamsuf should split. And when it's time for this, this should happen. It's time for that, that should happen. That's how the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, all the different Nisim were created, Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmashos, Pi Hamon, Pi Haber, and so on. It means that all of Nisim are part of Teva. So that's how the Medrash says, Vayoshev Hayom Le'esan Olit Tana Oy, that Tanai Hisna Kodesh Bocha Maise Bereshis, then when it's time, the Yam should split.
Why did you have to make a Tanai for? Why
can't you just make the next? Why did you need a Tanai? It says, the Pasuk appears three times in Tanakh, Choyk Nosan Velo Yavor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Chukei HaTeva, and he himself doesn't want to violate the Chukei HaTeva. He doesn't like to make Nisim. So that's what the Chazal understood, that when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, he incorporated all of the Nisim into the Chukei HaTeva. It's really part of Teva. When do you have a Nes that the Ribbono Shel Olam is making right now? So that's the Nisim Nistorim. The Ribbono Shel Olam, the Rambam has in the Mor and the Vuchim, he has a whole discussion. How does Hashgacha Pratis work? How does the Ribbono Shel Olam run the world with Hashgacha Pratis? So he gives a mashal. Ribbono Shel Olam wants to punish a Rasha. He deserves to die. So Ribbono Shel Olam wants him to drown. So the Russia usually goes to Florida, let's say, whatever, for vacation. So the Baruch Shalom suspends its Bechira Chavshis. Everything has Chuk Yateb except for Bechira Chavshis. Man is created by Tzelem Elokim. Just like the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's how the Mefarshim say, what does it mean Tzelem Elokim? Just like the Ribbono Shel Olam can create Yesh Meyayin, there's nothing forcing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create. So too, man's Bechira Chavshis is completely free. There's nothing pressuring man to make decisions. So because Bechira Chavshis is not, see, the most of the psychologists in recent years believe that whenever a person is born, he's born like with a computer that has a whole system and everything all wired up and all the decisions are made ready for him. So they said that's what the Apikurism say, that those who are homosexuals, it's all built in and they don't have Bechira Chavshis. They don't have Bechira Chavshis, so we call them a Shaita. If the homosexuals are prepared to say that they don't have Bechira Chavshis, that the president said, so that's called a Shaita. A Shaita means the person doesn't have Bechira Chavshis, okay? If they're prepared to declare themselves of Shaitim, so okay, it can't be Mitzar from Tuaminyan, can't be Mekadosh and Isha, can't be Mekah Chamemka. A Shaita is a Shaita, Allah Badas. So we believe that every person has Bechira Chavshis, complete, except for those who are Shaitim, okay? Every person has complete freedom to decide to do mitzvahs or averus or whatever, what he wants to eat for breakfast and so on. So once in a while, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to suspend the person's Bechira Chavshis. Because that's the only thing that's loose. That's the only thing that's free. So the Rambam gives this whole description. How does Hashgacha Pratis work? Baruch Shalom wants to punish a Russia, let's say. He wants to drown him, but the guy usually goes by plane to Florida. So he puts a bug in the Russia's head. He suspends his Bechira Chavshis. And he makes him decide he wants to go on a boat trip to Europe. But then there was a tzaddik who decided he wanted to go on a boat trip. So the Baruch Shalom does want the tzaddik to die. So the Baruch Shalom suspends the Bechira Chavshis of the tzaddik, and he makes him go out in the rain without a raincoat, and he catches a cold. And because he catches a cold, he has to cancel his trip on the boat. And then the Baruch Shalom, when the guy was manufacturing the boat in the factory, when they made the boat, so the Baruch Shalom wanted to punish someone in the future. He wanted this boat to be reserved for a Russia to drown. So normally when the guy screws the bolts into the boat, he screws it tightly, then he should do a good job. So Ribbono Shel Olam suspends his Bechira Chavshis from behind the scenes. Bechira Chavshis is the only thing that's not kavua. So he suspends his Bechira Chavshis, so you shouldn't tighten the bolts tightly in this boat. So in another 25 years, this boat is going to sink. So by suspending the Russia's Bechira Chavshis and putting a bug in his head, he should go in the boat. Suspending the Tzaddik's Bechira Chavshis, he should go and make himself sick with a cold, he should cancel his trip. And suspending 25 years ago the Bechira Chavshis of the guy who was supposed to screw the bolts into the boat, this boat should sink. So that's how Ribbono Shel Olam pulls the strings behind the scenes. That's how he exercises Hashgacha Pratis. Hashgacha Pratis is possible based on Bechira Chavshis, because Bechira Chavshis is the one thing that's free. That's the Rambam has a whole chapter in the Mor and the Buchim to explain this, that Hashgacha Pratis is only possible based on the premise of Bechira Chavshis. Bechira Chavshis is the only thing that's free, so Ribbono Shel Olam can suspend Bechira Chavshis, cause people to do things that they would have not decided on their own. So whenever there's a Neis Nistar means that Ribbono Shel Olam is exercising Hashgacha Pratis now by suspending people's Bechira Chavshis, that's a miracle that's happening now. Whenever there's a miracle of a Neis Nigla, that's not happening now. That's the old miracle of Bria Soilum. That's the old miracle of Mesheshes made gracious. So that's why in some Hasidic Torah they say that on Purim, the nest that we're celebrating is an Eis Nistar. So that's why you have to drink Adalo Yada. But on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, you're just celebrating Nisim Gluyim. Pesach, you were celebrating the Nisim Gluyim of Kriyas Yamsav, Yitzias, Mitzrayim, and everything. And Shavuot is also Nisim Gluyim. So all the Nisim Gluyim are old Nisim. From Sheshes May Breshes, so then you only drink L'chaim, you make Kiddush over a reveas of wine. You don't have to drink Adaliyot. That's an oldness. That's an oldness from Sheshes May Breshes. But when you celebrate a Neis Nistar, so that Neis is happening now under our noses. Baruch Shalom is exercising Hashgacha Pratis now.
So why does one have to drink a little extra?
Because that's a Mamash Nes that's happening now. Uh-huh. Nes Purim happened on the occasion of Nes Purim. All the other Nisim didn't happen on the occasion. That happened in Sheshes Bei Breshes. That's the oldness of Bria Soilo.
that we celebrate every Shabbos Bria Sayla.
How does that work in what the Rebbe just said with everything is
right? The Rambam says Hakol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mi'ir Shemayim means all human activities. He says Yir Shemayim means Bechira Chavshes. That's the Rambam in the Tshuva writes like that. Hakol B'Dei Shemayim means what color eyes you're going to have, what color complexion and so on, everything in the world, the way things grow. Chutz Mi'ir Shemayim means all human activities are subject to Bechira Chavshes. So that's not B'Dei Shemayim. That's up to people to decide. Once in a while, because it's a free thing, it's loose. There's no chukim on that. So once in a while, Baruch Shalom has the ability to suspend Bechira Chavshes. So that's a nes, nister, that's exercising Hashgacha Pratis and so on. That's a nes that happens right now under our noses.
Chutz Mi'ir Shemayim is Hashgacha Pratis, do
you know what you said? No, Chutz Mi'ir Shemayim means Bechira Chavshes. Person has to decide whether he wants to have Yir Shemayim or not. It's based on the pasuk. Ali Saleh Chacham Chachmasa is Palel Gibobig Vurasavai Salasher Vyashro Kimzos is Halel Hamisalel Haskel Vyadoa Osi. So the Gemara says when the baby is about to be born, the Malach determines whether this tipa, whether this embryo will be a Chacham or Tipish, will be a Asher Ani, whether he'll be a Gibor or a Cholosh. So Ali Saleh Chacham Chachmasa, he didn't develop the Chachma. That's Menashe Maim. That was determined when he was born. Kimzos is Halel Hamisalel. Haskel v'yadoi, so Yir Shemayim, that's based on Bechira Chavshes. People have Bechira Chavshes, so that the person did on his own. So the Rambam learns, HaKol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mi Yir Shemayim. Yir Shemayim means all human activities are called Yir Shemayim, because all human activities are based on Bechira Chavshes. Pasuk says right before the Shir, V'yamina B'Hashem V'Moshe Avdoi. What does that mean? They believed in Moshe. What exactly does that mean? So I remember when I was a Talmud in high school in the yeshiva, so the Rebbe commented, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos gives you the list of what, in his opinion, constitute the 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs in Arabic, so we have a Hebrew translation. So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, according to the Hebrew translation, the old Hebrew translation, so it says the first mitzvah is we should believe in the existence of God. Have emunah. And the second mitzvah is believe that Yichud Hashem, monotheism, is only one God. The Ramban points out that the Halachas Gedolos doesn't count. The Rambam points out the Halachas Gedolos didn't count Anochi Hashem Elkecha to believe in the existence of God as a mitzvah. So the Rambam says it's against the Gemara, because the Gemara in the end of Makkos established that there were 613 mitzvahs based on the pasuk that says Torah Tzivolon Moshe Marosha Kilos Yankiv. The word Torah Begimatria is equal to 611. And if you look in next week's Seder in Parshas Yisro and the Aseres Adibras, so the first two are written Beloshen Noichach. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. HaKadosh Baruch is talking directly to Bnei Yisrael. Li Elokecha Li Mecher Mal Ponai. The Rebbe Shalom is talking in the first two. Ki Anochi Hashem Elokecha Kel Kana. The Rebbe Shalom is talking Lishmor Mitzvah Soi. Osa Chesal Alefim Lo Havai Lishomrei Mitzvah Soi. So the first two of the Aseres Adibas, Rebbeinu Shlom is talking directly. The next pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking. Lo sisa Hashem Hashem al kach, ki lo yinak Hashem. Doesn't say, lo sisa shmi ki lo yinak. Esa she yisa es shmi. Esa she yisa es shmo lo shav. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. And from the third to the end of all the Aseres Adibas, the Rebbeinu Shlom is not speaking. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. So that's what the Gemara says. Those we heard directly from the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's the way it's written in the Chumash. And the rest of them Moshe Rabbeinu said over. So the Gemara says, "Anochi v'liyelacho atu mitzvus," and all the others Torah tzivolana Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us the 611. So 611 plus two is equal to 613. So that's how you have Taryag mitzvah. So the Rambam Tainus against the Halachos Gedolos doesn't count Anochi Hashem Elokecha Emunah Hakadosh Baruch Hu. But the Gemara says, Anochi v'liyelacho adu two, you add them up to Torah, 611, so that adds up to 613. So you see, Anochi is one, and v'liyelacho is one. So Anochi Hashem Elokecha should count as a mitzvah. The Ramban comes to defend the Bahag. Ramban, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, always defends the Bahag. He writes, he doesn't necessarily agree with the Bahag, but he's not happy about the way the Rambam wipes the floor with the Bahag. He attacks him so much. He says, the Baha'i can be defended. The same thing the Balamor was a teenager. Malamoy writes he was 19 years old, and he writes these hasagas on the Rif. So the Ramban writes, there was a shtikla chutzpah on the part of the Balamot to write such hasagas, the Rif can be defended. He doesn't always agree with the Rif. The Ramban writes, he doesn't always agree with the Rif, but he doesn't think that you can wipe the floors with the Rif. It's an interesting attitude. A lot of times the Ramban himself agrees with the Balamot. A lot of times the Ramban agrees with the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. But he just wrote to defend the Bahag and to defend the Rif. So the Ramban writes in the Hasogas on the Sefer HaMitzvah to defend the Halachas Gedolos, why he didn't count Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So he says, logically, it doesn't make sense. If you don't believe in God, so then there's nobody there to give you any mitzvahs. So how can God command me to believe in Him? If I don't believe that He exists, so there's no one there commanding. And if I have a historical tradition, why do we believe in God? How do we know that God exists? How do you know that anything is true? How do you know your religion is true? So our religion, we believe in our religion based on the historical tradition of our ancestors. I knew all of my four grandparents, and they knew their parents and their grandparents probably, and there are many Jews all over the world. We have a historical tradition like Moshe Lamad Avadayma. If a person will deny today that George Washington was the first president of the United States, there's nobody alive today who remembers George Washington. Maybe the whole thing is above a miser. Maybe there was no such person. Maybe there never was, maybe the British never balabatavit of in America. Maybe there was no revolutionary war and so on. So that's ridiculous. We have historical evidence that happened. So we have historical evidence, we have historical tradition from millions and millions of people who witnessed all of the Nisim and the flaws. There were Shishim Ribo men between the age of 20 and 60. And then there were people younger than 20, and then there were people older than 60. Then there were women. And then there was Erev Ravalo Itam. There were a lot of Gerim who came along. So several million people witnessed all of their samakas, the Kriyas Yamsuf, Maimon Hasina, all the Nisim and the Flosa. Our religion is based on the historical testimony of so many people. So if we accept that historical testimony, so you don't need a mitzvah to believe in God. We believe in God like we believe in George Washington. There's nothing to believe. George Washington was the first president of the United States. There was a revolution, and what? An imam, and you believe it? That's history. So we believe in the Rabbanu Shalom, that's Jewish history. It was witnessed by millions of people. It's a historical tradition. So the Ramban says it doesn't make sense to have a mitzvah to believe in the existence of God, because if you do believe it, so you know it's true history. It's not a mitzvah lahamin. And if you don't believe it, you think that somebody made up the story. So what? So where? So if there's no mitzvah, the Ramban says, then there's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah, there's no mitzvah. There's nothing to discuss. So it's Taka Pella. How do you understand the Rambam? So some say, Reb Chaim Heller has this long footnote. Reb Chaim Heller was a Gaon who died 50 years ago, and he had a kollel in Berlin. When Rav Soloveitchik was attending the university in Berlin, so he used to learn when he wasn't going to university, so he was learning Reb Chaim Heller's kollel. They had big Talmid Chacham in there, very big Talmid Chacham. So Reb Chaim Heller knew Arabic, and he made a new translation of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Lo HaRambam. It was made during the lifetime of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim lived to a ripe old age. It was almost 100 when he died. So they say that Chafetz Chaim said after Reb Chaim Heller's Sefer HaMitzvah was published, you're not allowed to use the old edition, because the Gemara has a din, Al Tashkin Bo'alecha Avla, of Pasuk and Mishle. You're not allowed to keep a Sefer Sheina Muga at home. So he said the old Sefer HaMitzvah has mistakes in it. Chaim Heller pointed out, the translator of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, I forgot what his name was already, so he writes in his introduction to his translation, he doesn't really know Arabic so well, but he's doing a job, he's trying to translate the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So they usually say he wrote it out of humility. Chaim Heller says no. Ibn Tibon. So Reb Chaim Heller writes, no, it's not humility. He taka didn't know Arabic well. A lot of words he translated wrong. So he says, not humility. So he corrects every so often. He corrects it. Then there were other mistakes that crept in over the generations. So Reb Chaim Heller printed a new translation of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Basically, it's the same as the old translation. It's a very difficult Hebrew. And in recent years, Kapach put out a new translation from the Arabic that reads in a modern Hebrew, like the new translation. Kapach put out a new translation of the Mor Nebuchim, so you can read it. It's in modern Hebrew. You can, not modern, that's difficult to read. Reasonable Hebrew that we can understand. The old translation is so choppy. He translated word for word. It's hard to understand what he says. So Rab Chaim Heller every so often has a footnote there, has a comment there, on every line he has a comment that's how to translate the text. So he says, all the Mefarshim point out, you look in the Rambam in the beginning of the Mishneh Torah, so the Rambam, Mishneh Torah begins with the Sefer Mitzvahs. So the Rambam writes, he gives you the list of the 630 mitzvahs, and every section in the Rambam, he tells you how many mitzvahs they're going to be here, how many mitzvahs sesei, how many mitzvahs loy sesei, and then by the time you finish the whole Sefer Mishneh Torah, you know all the Taryag mitzvahs. The Rambam says the whole mitzvah of Talmud Torah, what is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? To say chakiris, to analyze things. Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is, the Rambam said mitzvah of Talmud Torah is, to learn, to know what are the 630 mitzvahs, to know all the details. So the Rambam starts the Mishneh Torah with the listing of the 630 mitzvahs. Every section it tells you. So he starts with Hilchos Yisrael Torah, has 10 mitzvahs, I think 6 mitzvahs sesei, 4 mitzvahs lo sesei. So the first one is Leida. The Rambam wrote the Mishneh Torah in Hebrew. So he writes Leida Sheishem Bori Manik. How come he writes over there Leida, and here he writes Lahamin? So here he writes Lahamin, and the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam didn't write it in Hebrew. He wrote it in Arabic, and in Ibn Tibbon's translation, he writes Lahamin. So that's what Chaim Heller says. It's not so, in many generations they spoke about this, the Stira. How come the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs says Lahamin, to believe in God, and the Sefer, and the Mishneh Torah, he writes Leida? So some said it's not really a mitzvah Lahamin, a Leida, you have to philosophize. You have to go through the proofs of the existence of God. The Rambam and Mar Devuchim has a lot about that. He proves the existence of God. Now, how many people here go through that, the proofs of the existence? That's out of style today. Nobody's interested in that. So that's a question. Did the Rambam really mean? Leida means to philosophize. Everyone has to analyze the logical proofs of the existence of God. Otherwise, they're not yet to the first mitzvah. So we usually don't assume like that. So the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, writes in the Tanya, Vayeda ha'odam eschaba ishtoi. What does he mean by Yeda Ha'adam is Chavish, that he philosophized about his wife? No, but Yeda means he had Tashmish. Yeda means his Chabrus, in a very strong way, his Chabrus. Yeda is Chavish, that then she became pregnant. So Yeda means Chochma Bina in Das. So Das means when something becomes part of your mind, I have a lot of information in my mind that's filed away there somewhere. I have my social security number filed away somewhere. If I really have to remember it, if I'll work hard, I'll remember it. My wife's cell phone, I hardly ever call her. So if I have to call her, so I'll take a few guesses until I'll figure out, I'll remember it. It's filed away in the back of my mind. So Leida means when some piece of information, not stam, filed away in the recesses of your mind. Leida means a real hischabrus. Das means a hischabrus like if you ask me, what's my name? I know right away what my name is. That's called the Das. So that's what the Baal HaTanya says. When the Rambam writes in the beginning of the Mishneh Torah, Leida Sheishem Bore Maring, means that the knowledge of the existence of the God shouldn't be in the recesses of your mind like your social security number. It should be in the forefront of your mind. It should be, Yediyah means it should be always. I should always visualize it as if the Rebbeinu Shalom is before me. See, I give this marshal with the social security number. When I was a little boy, there was a movie about Mr. Belvedere. So he read all the encyclopedias and he knew everything there was to know. So he went on the $64,000 contest and he was winning everything every week. So they didn't know what to ask him. They couldn't stump him. He knew everything about everything. So how could they stump this guy? He's cleaning up the house and taking all the money. So they asked about him, the people who make the questions asked about him, and they said he only knows what it says in the book, so he doesn't know anything about himself. So they asked him, what's your social security number? And he lost. He didn't know his social security number. So it happens to me, I always have to think 10 times and have to remember what my social security number. That's why I give that much social security number. So that's what Rab Chaim Heller claims, that when the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvahs was translated Lahamin, he says the word that was used in the original Arabic doesn't necessarily mean Lahamin. It could be that it means also Leida, and it could be that there's no contradiction between Lahamin and Leida. Leida means to have a full knowledge, that a person should be this should be foremost in a person's mind. So remember, when I was in high school, so the Rebbe translated the pasuk Vayamina Bashem Uve Moshe Abdoi. What does it mean? That just like Moshe Rabbeinu was right in front of their eyes, they didn't have to philosophize. Not a question of historical tradition from earlier. Here's Moshe Rabbeinu under our noses. He's talking to us. So just like they saw Moshe Rabbeinu in front of their eyes, Vayamina Bashem, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, their belief in the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in the forefront of their minds. There's a famous story when the Baal Shem Tov was a cousin of Mrs. Nadi Behuda. They lived in the same village first. Before the Nadi Behuda went to Prague, it was a little village in Yampala. So when the Baal Shem Tov was founding his new movement of Hasidus, so the Nadi Behuda, that's how the story goes, he called him in and he wanted to ask him certain questions. Do you have a right to found this movement? So he asked them, if you say that you can tell what people are thinking about, tell me, what am I thinking about now? So he says, you're thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shivisi Hashem le'negdi samet. So he says, wrong. So he says, well, you're supposed to be thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, Shivisi Hashem le'negdi samet. That's the first sif in the Shulchan Aruch. So that Klal Gadol, everybody is always supposed to be thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what it means, the mitzvah of Emunah. It does mean to believe in the existence of God. And it doesn't mean to philosophize. It means we have a historical tradition that God exists. That's how we know. That's what the Rambam quotes from the Kuzari. Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, was a Talmud of the Rib, so he was a little earlier than the Rambam. The Rambam's father was a Talmud of the Rib Megash, who was a Talmud of the Rib. So the Kuzari writes the interpretation on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, and the Rambam quotes it in Igeres HaShmad. He says, the nations of the world always call upon the Jewish people, we should accept their religion. Shuvi shuvi ha-shulamis. Shuvi shuvi v'nechazabach. Shulamis is Klal Yisrael. So they say, why don't you join our religion? So the Jewish people respond, matechzu ba-shulamis kemecholos ha-machanoim. If you'll show me a machane mul machane, if you'll show me a machane with millions of people witnessing nisim v'neflos, like Maimon Hasina, like Esa Makas, like Kriyas Yamsuf, and Yitzias Mitzrayim and everything, Then I'll begin to think about considering the validity of your religion. But all the other religions are based on stories that were witnessed, supposedly Yoshka did miracles in the presence of his 11 students or something, or 20 people there. Don't tell me stories about 20 people. Tell me, did you have millions of people witnessing Nisim and Aflos? So then I'll think about it. Then we'll discuss the validity of your religion. So that's what our religion is based on, historical tradition for millions of people. And the mitzvah of Amunah does mean to believe in God. It means the mitzvah leida. Leida doesn't mean to philosophize. Leida means there should be das, like Vayedu Adam Eschav Eishta, his chabrus. We should be ever aware of the existence of God. The Ramah writes in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Shvi Yisrael Hashem Leneg Desamid, if I would be in the presence of a king, of an Adam Chashuv, I would act differently from the way I would act if I know the king is somewhere else. So we should always have the attitude that the Ribbono Shel Olam is here with us in the room. We should always act properly, even when you take a shower, even when you're with your wife, even when you eat, whatever. You should always act in such a way as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is there, watching everything that we do in our bedroom and all over the house.
So when Rabbeinu Bachai writes that in the Chovos HaLevavos, so every Jew has an obligation to find the proofs for God and of God's existence, we don't pass it that way?
That was a big dispute years ago. Many thought that the Rambam also said that. So many assumed that it's not so. There was a Chacham Yavetz. There was Rabbi Yankov Emden, the son of the Chacham Tzvi. That was a different Yavetz. He lived in the 1700s. There was a Chacham Yavetz who was expelled at the time of the Spanish expulsion in 1492, the Spanish Inquisition, when they were killing Jews. So he wrote on Pirkei Avos, he wrote commentaries. So he wrote a famous line in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, that at the time of the Spanish Inquisition, when they were killing all those who didn't accept Christianity, so those who were big philosophers among the Jews, a lot of them did not give up their lives. They philosophized away. That there's no Yorek Valyam. And those who had a Muna Pshuta, so they were Moshe Nefesh, Al Kiddush Hashem, they followed the Halacha. So he recommends, that's why he's known as a Chosid Yavetz, he recommends you shouldn't philosophize. They usually assume that there's no mitzvah to go through the proofs of the existence of God. That's not what the mitzvah means. The mitzvah of Leida, what the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, the opening line, Leida sheyesh am borei marek, doesn't mean to develop the proofs of God. The Mishnah Torah doesn't go through the proofs of God. Moreh Nebuchim goes through. Anyway, that's the striking pasuk of Yamir Hashem of Moshe Avdas. I remember my Rebbe in the yeshiva had a Rebbe, Reb Henoch Fishman. He died at a young age. He died from cancer. So he taught us Chumash in class. So he thought that was a pshat. That they had, you don't have emunah and exist of Moshe Rabbeinu. They're talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. And just like they saw Moshe Rabbeinu in front of their eyes, so their belief in the existence of God was always in the forefront of their mind. The Torah records the Shira Sayam to imply that this is the proper thing, that this is a din d'oraisa. Whenever the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you a Yeshua, so there's a mitzvah to recite Shira. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he writes that the reciting of Hallel on Chanukah is min haTorah. Why is min haTorah? Based on Oz Yosher, the fact that this is recorded in the Chumash, whenever there's a Yeshua, you're obligated to recite Hallel. The Netziv in his commentary on the Shultis quotes this Chasam Sofer, and he disagrees. So because he's going to disagree, so he has to show respect for the Chasam Sofer. So he refers to the Chasam Sofer as Agoyin v'hatzadik ha-Chasam Sofer. When he quotes Chasam Sofer, usually he doesn't quote him Agoyin v'hatzadik, but when he wants to disagree with him, so he has to quote with respect. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, "Habi misabik ba'afar ragleim." How does it say? Yibeischei beisabad lachachomim. You should invite Talmid Chacham to be in your home. Habi misabek ba'afar ragleim. So usually you translate misabek means you should roll in the dust of their feet. You should sit at their feet. Misabek means miloshen ovok, dust. They say one of Rashi's rabbeim used to roll in the dust in the Beis Medrash, because he used to observe literally misabek b'faraglem, out of respect for the tzaddikim, for the Talmid Chacham. So Rab Chaim Volozhin has in his droshes on Pirkei Avos. Rab Chaim Volozhin was in Volozhin, not only Volozhin yeshiva, he was the rabbi in the city, so he had to give droshes for the Malabatim. So he suggested a pshat, you have a right, you have a right to fight with the rabbonim, you have a right to disagree. You should be misavek ba'afaraglem. You should show big respect when you want to disagree, when you want to ask kakasha against Rashi HaTaisa, the Rambam, you want to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch or something. So it should be with big respect. So that's what the Netziv, when he wants to disagree with the Chasam Sofer, so he writes, Hagon Hatzarek HaChasam Sofer, writes in the Tshuva that Halal on Chanukah is their Isa. And he says that it's against the Gemara. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Yudal, it says Beferish, Halan Chanukah is only the Rabbanan. The Gemara there, Brachas Yudalit, is discussing there is a din that if a person is in the middle of Kriya Shema, so he's permitted to be mafsik bein haprokim, in between one parsha and the other, b'pnei hakoved, and b'emtza perik, b'pnei hayira, there's machlokes hatanaim, Rabbi Rav Yehuda. And Tosis points out that the Yerushalmi that is based on the pasuk v'dibarta bom. Pashab Shad v'dibarta bom is you should recite the Vetar. V'dibarta bom shivtacha v'veisecha v'lechtacha v'adercha v'shach v'chav kamecha. We should always talk and learning every 3 minutes. So the Yerushalmi has an additional level of interpretation. V'dibarta bom, you should be mapsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. V'dibarta bom. What do you mean? A mitzvah to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema, v'dibarta bom. So the Yerushalmi says, yeah, now covered, now yira. Sometimes there's a mitzvah to be mapsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. So then it's lemasar akos ve'elach hachamim. So the Tanaim have a whole machlokes. To what extent are you allowed to be mapsik? Now covered, now yira, memtza perik, they not broken, and so on. So the Gemara has a shaila, this din, that you have a right, it's permissible and obligatory to be mapsik in the middle of Kriya Shema, to greet other people that come into Shul Lake, Mepnei Akovim, Mepnei Ayira. Does that only apply in Kriya Shema? What about Halal on Chanukah? Should I say Kriya Shema is there, I say Halal on Chanukah is there, Rabbonu, so it's a Kav HaChomer? Or should I say no? Even though Halal on Chanukah is a lower level Chiv, it's only the Rabbonon, but since it's for the sake of Pesumi Nisos, and maybe if you'll be Mapsik in the middle, you will ruin the whole Pesumi Nisos. Kriya Shema, you're not going to ruin anything. It's the text of the Chumash. But Halal, you may ruin the Pesumi Nisos. So the Gemara is beferish that Halal on Chanukah is only the Rabban.
I think also, maybe, why don't we apply the Machloket later on of Ein Chacham V'Ein Tvun V'Ein Itzel Neged Hashem? Maybe we should say that Kavod HaBrios shouldn't take precedence over
Right. Sometimes Kavod Abiyah does take precedent over the mitzvah, sometimes not. So in the middle of Shemana Esrei, you're not allowed to be mafsik. In the middle of Kriya Shema, you are supposed to be mafsik. So sometimes yes and sometimes no.
So we would say, maybe we could apply the Gemara's reasoning later on, because the Pasuk actually writes, Vidibar Tabam, you should talk. So because the Pasuk itself gives the leniency, then that's okay.
Yeah. So by Kriya Shema, it is okay. Mashmana says it's not okay. Except you have to figure out when yes and when no. It's a problem. Okay, but Kriya Shema says that yes. So the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer are also bothered with this kash. How can the Chassam Sofer say that Halal Chanukah is their Isa? It's against the Beferish Gemara. So they answer, Halal Chanukah is their Isa. You have to recite Halal. Doesn't mean you have to recite these Prokham of Halal, these four pages in the Siddur. You say two lines and you say the Halal their Isa. The fact that you say four pages worth of Halal, that's only, that part is only the Rabbanan. So that's what the Gemara says. Maybe Kriya Shema is their Isa, you're allowed to be mafsik. The four pages worth of a halal is only the Rabbanan. Certainly, you should be allowed to be mafsik. But I'll call upon him. The Netziv claims that halal Chanukah is only the Rabbanan mikol v'kol. It's in Gansan the Rabbanan. Aye, but the Gemara does derive from the Gemara Megillah Daf Yudala. Happens to be the same Daf as in Brochas Daf Yudala. Gemara Megillah Daf Yudala says that reciting of halal is their Isa. We derive it. Rashi says we derive it from Oz Yashir. So the Netziv says, yeah, that's halal b'shas hanes. But halal zechel hanes every year. In commemoration of the Nes Chanukah, that's only the Rabbanan. Halal b'shas hanes, that's their ice. There is another difference. There's a famous Rav Haigoin quoted by the Ran on Psochim, the end of Masechet Psochim. He says that halal b'shas hanes, you don't recite a brocha. Halal zechel hanes, you do recite a brocha. Halal b'shas hanes is supposed to be spontaneous. So if you're going to say a brocha, we say we're praising you because you told us to praise you. So that takes away from the spontaneity. So halal b'shas hanes is supposed to be a spontaneous halal. And that you learn that from Oz Yashir. That's the way a Jew should act. When the Rebbe Shalom gives a Yeshua, it doesn't have to be a nes. When the Rebbe Shalom gives a Yeshua, you have to recite halal. And halal zechel hanes, every year in commemoration of a nes. So that's only the Rabbanan. So that, you do recite the brach. There is a Mishnah in the end of Tainus. It says when there's Tziris Gishamim, there's no rain. And the Bezin sometimes is goes to tightness, and no rain, so vegetation is not going to grow. Now, no vegetation, the animals can die, the people die, if there's no food to eat. So there would be goes to tightness, it's an Eitzar. So the Mishnah says if they're fasting, so if it rains before Chatzos, so they don't have to fast till the end of the day. If it starts to rain after Chatzos, then we have to fast till the end of the day. So it says if it rains before Chatzos, you don't have to fast till the end of the day, everybody should go home and eat. Then they should come back to shul and they should recite halal. So the Gemara asked the Kasha and the Mishnah, why do they go home and eat and then you go back to shul to recite halal? How long is the halal going to take? It's going to take 15 minutes, the whole halal. It's not going to take 2 hours. It's going to take 15 minutes. So go to shul, say the halal, and then go home and eat. What? People are so starving. It's before Chatzos. They're not so hungry. So the Gemara answers in the end of Tainus, Ein omem halal el al keres maleo ben efesh tzeveyo. The halal, the Shas HaYeshua, should be recited when you have a full stomach, when you're in a very good mood, and you should recite the halal slowly. So Tosis points out, when we say halal on Yontif in the morning, we haven't eaten breakfast yet. Usually when we say halal, we didn't eat yet. Halal on Leil HaSeder, the main part of the halal is the second part of the halal, after the meal. That's what the Balamor writes at the end of Psoch. Because the halal Leil HaSeder is considered halal b'shas hanes. Based on the Gemara, that b'chol davar chai b'adam le'irsatz mekilo yatzim in Mitzrayim, as the visual as if he just left Mitzrayim now. So the halal le'il ha'seder is considered halal b'shas hanes. Every other halal zechel hanes. And that's what the Netziv says here too. Halal b'shas hanes, that's the raisa, that's based on Oz Yashir. Halal zechel hanes, that's the every year in commemoration, that's only halal the rabban. Halal on yontif, what's halal on yontif is not b'shas hanes, not zechel hanes. Halal on yontif, the Ramban explains in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that's an expression of simchas yontav. You have to have simcha, physical simcha, gashmis, because simcha by eating basa v'yayin. Then you have to have spiritual simcha, observing spiritual simcha by reciting halal. So that halal that you recite on yontav, that's an expression of fulfillment of the mitzvah of simchas yontav. What's that halal? Is that the rice? Is that the rabbanan? So that's a machloikas, the Rambam and the Bahag. The Rambam claims that halal is always the rabbanan. All halal is the rabbanan. And the Bahag is of the opinion that halal on yontav is their rice. And the Ramban defends the Bahag. He says it's based on a samachta b'chagecha. It's an expression of simcha. Avdabala Soloveitchik points out, and the little Sefer on Sukkah, he thinks that it's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. The Tosfos assumes that Dava Pasha, the Halal Yontav is the Rabbanon, and they, based on that assumption, they bothered with the Kasha against Rashi. He says, maybe the Torah says that Rashi holds like the Halachas Gedolos, the Halal Yontav is the Rashi. So the three different Halals, at least three different Halals. Halal Yontav as an expression of Simchas Yontav, Halal B'Shas HaNes, that's for sure Derais, and Halal Zechal HaNes, that the Netziv Tainas, that it's only the Rabbanim. So this Oz Yoshir is recorded in the Chumash to indicate that this is the proper way to go. Oz Yoshir has to be written Kishira. The whole Torah is written line after line after line. You have to have Ariach HaGabi Leveno, Leveno HaGabi Rech. You have to have empty spaces in between. The very last Pasuk is a big question. Kivosis para birichpa for Rosh Bayom, the very last pasuk Yutes in chapter Tezva pasuk Yutes, that's a big issue. Is it supposed to be written like a shira, or is it supposed to be written so? Some say kivosis para birichpa is a historical footnote. It's not part of the shira, so it should not be written by like a shira. Others hold you're right. You're right, it's a historical footnote. The shira ended with Hashem Yimelech Yalvah, the singing ended then. But Kibostus Paro is a historical footnote, but it should still be written like a shira, because it was part of the shira. Others all know, it was part of the shira. They sang that also. They didn't conclude with Hashem Yimelech Yalvah. When we say Pesukah Dezim in the morning, so we say Hashem Yimelech Yalvah twice, and then we say the Targum Unklus, Hashem. You say the Targum Unklus on the pasuk on the assumption that that's the concluding pasuk of the Shira, and Kibosus Paro is not part of the Shira. It's a historical footnote. And others are not so convinced. Others are not so convinced. That's a big shaila.
It was printed not printed leaning on the way that's printed is not the Shira.
If it's written wrong in the Sefer Torah, it'll apostle. So that's a machlokes. Half of the Sefer Torah in the world are apostle, not half. A lot of them are apostle because according to that shita, it's not supposed to be written like a shira. I think most have it written like a shira. And others hold that it apostles like that. I think here in the basement, we once looked, some of the Sefer Torah have it like this, some have it the other way. So half of the Sefer Torah, apostle. How are we going to know which is which? Okay, that's the shaila. Zakeli v'anvehu, the different levels of interpretation in the pasuk. Zakeli v'anvehu, the Rashi quotes the Targum Unklus. Zakeli v'anvehu, the evnelei beis magdusha. I will build a nove, evnelei magdusha. I will build a home for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. I will build. He's promising, but Esau are promising. We're going to build a mishkan, build a beis hamikdash. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The anvehu is miloshen noye mitzvah. Then whenever you do a mitzvah, a lot of people, now it's in style, people walk with shoes that are not polished. People, big tamir chacham, have to show how great they are learning, so the shoes are not polished, and their trousers are not neat. But years ago, it was assumed that a person is supposed to dress properly. Tam chacham shenem tzu revab al bikdo is chay misa v'day shamayim. Not chay misa v'day odom, is chay misa v'day shamayim. So they always used to say, you should make sure that your tefillin are polished beautifully like your shoes are polished nicely. Today the mashal is no good. A lot of people walk around with shoes that are not polished. But you should have noye mitzvah, that the tefillin should be pretty and the tefillin zekla should be pretty. You shouldn't hold your tefillin in a paper bag. Hold the tefillin in your pocket. One, the shalyad in this pocket, shalosh in the other pocket. You should have a tefillin zekla. Everything should be pretty. Noye mitzvah. Avavala Soloveitchik has in the Shurim that they printed from him on Maseches Nozir. So he has a comment there. Shaila, whether the din of Noye Mitzvah is a general inyan, you should be Mahader Mekidur Mitzvah on all mitzvahs, or is it a particular mitzvah? If you have beautiful tefillin, it's an enhancement to the mitzvah of tefillin. If you have a beautiful talis Noye, it's an enhancement of the mitzvah of talis. So he shows from the Gemara that each time you perform a mitzvah, Behidura, with Noye Mitzvah, it's an enhancement of that mitzvah. Because the Gemara says that when you hold the lulav in your hand, the container that you have, the keshikol, does not constitute chatzitza, because since it's Noye Mitzvah, so it's considered a chelik of the mitzvah. So it would appear from the Gemara, brings other rice also, but it would appear from the Gemara that it's an integral part of this particular mitzvah. The Gemara says also that on Shabbos, when you perform a bris milah, so you're doing a malacha, so the halacha is that a milah bisman is derech Shabbos. How much is it necessary to cut in order to fulfill the mitzvah bris milah? So you have to, Gemara says you have to cut basa hachoifes roif ha-torah. You have to cut off so much of the foreskin that covers up roif of the atorah. A big machlek is different opinions. What is the atorah? What is that referring to? That's a different discussion for a different occasion. So what if the moil cut off basa hachoifes roif ha-torah? That's enough? So the Gemara says, no, it's a hidden mitzvah to cut off the miut, even though it's not me'akad b'riyevin. Yeah, but that's only a hider mitzvah. Are you allowed to be mechal Shabbos for the hider? Let's say the moel already finished cutting basa achayfas reif ha-torah. So al pidin, he already finished performing the bris milah. Is he allowed to continue to cut? So the Gemara says, if lo silik yoda, if he didn't put on the bandage yet, you should be mechal Shabbos for the milut as well. So you see that a hider mitzvah is deicha Shabbos. How can a hider mitzvah be deicha Shabbos? So you see that that the mitzvah, hider mitzvah, is an enhancement of that particular mitzvah. It's considered an integral part of the mitzvah bris milah. So bris milah is derech Shabbos. It's not a general mitzvah to show kabod for all the mitzvahs, to be mahadir all the mitzvahs. Hider mitzvah and tefillin is an enhancement of the mitzvah of tefillin. Hider mitzvah of milah is an enhancement of the mitzvah of milah. It brings a few rayas. Rabbi Avol and the Shurim brings a few rayas to demonstrate that it's an enhancement of this particular mitzvah. We have a minig that when we recite Kiddush Levana, Kiddush Levana, the text in Kiddush Levana appears in the Gemara in Masecha Sanhedrin. Someone thought that someone was talking the other day when we said Kiddush Levana, someone thought that it was invented later. The text of the Bracha exists in the Gemara. The Masecha Sofrim has that we recite much more than the Bracha. So the Masecha Sofrim says you should say the Pasuk Tipa Lalem Masav Afach, and you should say it backwards also. So there's a big question regarding this Pasuk Tezayin. In chapter Tezvav, Pasuk Tezayin, in the Shira, Tipal Adayim Masav HaFachad, the Gedol Zerach Yid Mekoven, that's in the middle of a Pasuk. So do you end in the middle of the Pasuk, or do you complete the whole Pasuk? So usually the Gemara has a klal called Pasuk de la Paske Moshe Anan Loi Paskina. You're not allowed to say only an incomplete Pasuk. So Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Michal Shurkin, in his sefer where he writes on hagas of different tzaddikim that he knew, that he learned by, so he writes that Moshe's practice was that when he said Kiddush Levana, he would say the whole pasuk, Ad Yavaram Chashem, Ad Yavaram Zukanisim. And most do not have that practice. And the Siddur HaGro that was printed by the Rav from Yafo, Hertz, I think his name was, Rav Hertz. So he gives a whole explanation why we don't say the whole pasuk. When you say it backwards, you only say Koavon Yidmu Zrochav Bigdov Afachan Amosel. You start from Koavon Yidmu. I don't think Rav Moshe started backwards from Kanisa Zu. He did like everybody else, but when you say it forwards, so then Rav Moshe's practice was that he said the entire pasuk because of the issue of Kol Psukos Le Paske Moshe and Nam Le Paskina. Pasuk continues in the Chumash that they came to the city Mora and the water was bitter. So Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu how vayimtuku hamoyim. And they were given certain mitzvahs there. Sham sam lachokam mishpo b'sham. So they were given several mitzvahs. So Rashi quotes from a Medrash that they were given the mitzvah of Shabbos in Mora. Others say it wasn't given in Mora, it was given later. It says when they came to Elim, and then there was no food to eat, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to send down mon, and then he told them Shabbos they shouldn't collect the mon. So the mitzvah of Shabbos was given before Maimon Hasina, and Aseres Hadibros Shabbos appears. But apparently Shabbos was given before, either in Mara or in Elim it was given. So there is a discussion, a big discussion in Rishonim, and a little bit, then a big discussion in latest one, where is the international dateline? So some write, Kosher Glover has a tshuva about this in his Sefer Eretz Tzvi, and his Shabbos tshuva is Eretz Tzvi. So he quotes some who claim that since the mitzvah of Shabbos was given in Mara, or was given in Elim, wherever it was given, so the international dateline should be over there. Because the whole relevance of the International Day of Tolerance is when the mitzvah of Shabbos was given. So since it was given in Morris, so it should be over there. So over there, that stam doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? The Jews passed over that, all the Jews always traveling there. So the day switches and they live. It can't be. What they should have said was, Elim is the center, so 12 hours to the east, so 6 hours to the east should be international dateline. The Balamor and the Kuzari, the Chazanish has the whole country with Yud Cheshoes. When the Miri Yeshiva was in Japan, so then when the Jews were running away from the Nazis and they were in Japan for a while, so they were there for Shabbos, they were there for Yom Kippur. The Shaila was every Shabbos, and the Shaila was on the Yom Kippur, and then they left Japan, and we kicked out of Japan. So they were there for a while, so they had a Shaila, where is the international dateline? So the Chazon Ish wrote to whole countries at that time that the international dateline is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. The world, Balamar explains, the world is a globe, and it has two hemispheres, and the upper hemisphere has an upper, so we usually divide it, yeah, a globe. You have the upper hemisphere above the equator and below the equator. Or we divided the Western Hemisphere, where America is, and the rest of the world, the modern world, the Western Hemisphere. So the Halacha also divides it into every ball, you can divide it into two hemispheres. So the Halacha also declares the two hemispheres. And instead of holding the North Pole on top, we hold Yerushalayim on top, and the upper hemisphere will end 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. So the Chazon Ish quotes, he claims, all the Rishonim who discuss it say that the international dateline is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim should be the center of the upper hemisphere. That's why the Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael gavai mikol ha'aretzos, and Yerushalayim gavai mikol Eretz Yisrael. The kamta v'yalisa l'amokam yishivcha Hashem alamed, she Yerushalayim gavai mikol Eretz Yisrael. How is, when you go from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, it says, v'yordu avadecha eilai lai. Not v'yordu avadecha, no, it says by Yosef and the brothers. When they left Eretz Yisrael to go to Egypt, so that's called Yerida. When they went back to Eretz Yisrael, it says Vayalu. So you see that Eretz Yisrael is Gavai Mikol HaRotzos. And the Pasuk in Chumash says, Vekamta Vayalisa Alamakam Alamed, that Yerushalayim is Gavai Mikol Eretz Yisrael. So we know it's not true. Yerushalayim is not the highest location above sea level in Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is not as high as the Swiss Alps. What do you mean that Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael Gavai Mikol HaRotzos? So the Baal Mar says, no. It means when you divide the globe into two hemispheres, so you're not supposed to hold the North Pole on top, you're not supposed to hold the South Pole on top, you can hold whatever you want on top. So the Halacha says you hold Yerushalayim on top. So 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim, that'll be the beginning of all of time. So that's what the Kosher Globe quotes those who say, since the mitzvah of Shabbos was given the first time either in Mor or in Elim, so that should be the center. Rather than Yerushalayim be the center, Elim is not so far away. Elim should be the center, so the international dateline shouldn't be Elim or Mara, should be 6 hours to the east. That doesn't make sense what he quotes. He quotes the commentaries on the Kuzari. The Kuzari talks about the international dateline. The Chazon Ish writes, the Kuzari said exactly the same thing as the Baal HaMor. And all the seven Rishonim who spoke about the topic, they all say the same thing. So the one of the commentaries printed on the bottom of the page of the Kuzari read it differently. He read it that the dateline cuts through Elim. So that stam doesn't make any sense. You should have said the center is Elim or the center is Mora, and then 6 hours to the east should be the international dateline. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael that the mon is not going to fall down on Shabbos. Al yetzi ish memkoma b'yam ha'shvi. How do you translate the words al yetzi ish memkoma? So the pshuto shal mikra perhaps is the Kela Biodo. They had to take a lot of food. When they went to pick up the mon, what, they pick it up in their hands and put it in their pocket? No. So it says they had to come with pots and pans. They had to take oimer la golgoilus. Oimer is a lot. If a person, a husband and a wife, and they have 9 children, so they had to take 11 portions of mon. They had to take a lot of food home. So they used to go with pots and pans and collect the mon and put it and take it home. On Shabbat, they didn't have an Erev. They didn't have an Erev in the Midbar. That's a discussion the Poskim have. Why didn't they make an Erev? Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu make an Erev? If it's legitimate to make an Erev, why? So they have a whole discussion. So you're not allowed to carry. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Al yetz ish mem koma b'yom ha'shvi v'keila b'yoda. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos because of Hoytzor. The Gemara has an interpretation in the Pesach. Al yetz ish mem koma, not keila b'yoda. You're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. And tchumen is their ice. So that's a big machlokes hatanoim, whether Truman is deraisa or avderaisa. So the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Truman is deraisa alpai mama. Alpai mama is one mil. Alpai mama is a Trum Shabbos. So the Gemara says, we don't accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion. We paskan that Truman is lav deraisa. It's only midirabban. Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that Truman alpai mama is deraisa. When the Gemara rejects Rabbi Akiva's opinion, so the Rif at the end of the first Perek in Erevin quotes from the Yerushalmi that it could be that Yud Beis Mil is a Trum Derais. So the Tosfos does not hold like that. Tosfos does not paskan like that. Yerushalmi never appears in the Bavli at all. That's an idea. That even though Trum and Alpai Mama is only the Rabbanan, that Yud Beis Mil should be Derais. So the Ramah paskan the Shulchan Aruch that all Trum is the Rabbanan. The Mechaber follows the Rif and the Rambam. Chaber made up that he's going to follow the two out of the three poskim, the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh. So the Rif and the Rambam hold that Chum and Yud Beis Mil is their Isa. The Rambam counts it as a separate loisase. And the Minyan HaMitzvah, he says, there's one Avera not to do 39 Malachas on Shabbos. There's another Iser not to go Chutz to Chum. Chum is not from the Malachas on Shabbos. You're not Chayv Skila. If you go Chutz to Chum, you're not Chayv Chatos. You're not Chayv Koris. It's a separate Issa. So the Rambam counts it as two different Issurim, not the Gochutz Litchum. The Rambam only holds that it's the Reis on Shabbos, even Yom Kippur. He thinks that Chumen is only the Rabbana. Yom Tov for sure is only the Rabbana. And then there was a correspondence between Rab Daniel HaBavli, from the Dain from Baghdad, and the son of the Rambam, Rabbi Avram ben Rambam, mainly about things that the Rambam wrote in Sefer HaMitzvah, some things about what he wrote in the Mishnah Torah. So this is one of the issues that they debated, that the Rav Daniel HaBavli, the Dayan from Baghdad, thought that Yom Kippur should be exactly the same as Shabbos. Even if you want to say that Yom Tov Truman is only the Rabbanan, but in Yom Kippur should be the Raisa. So then Rabbi Avram ben Aramam defends his father's position. He says, no, he thinks that Truman is only the Raisa on Shabbos, Yom Kippur is only the Rabbanan. Then regarding Yom Tov, is a further machlokes. Rashi and Tosfos write in a few places that if you hold that Truman is the Raisa, then it's going to be Derais on Yom Tov as well. All the Dinim of Shabbos are carried over to Yom Tov. And others, other Rishayim, disagree. Shagas Aryeh and his Sefer on the Gemara takes issue with that Rashi and Tosfos. He thinks, how can he say Truman is Derais on Yom Tov? That's a general Shaila. Do you carry over everything from Shabbos to Yom Tov? Even the issues that are not really malachas, or maybe only carry over malachas. Truman is not a malach. Truman is a different is. Tosfos in the beginning of Pesachim has about this. If you hold that Havara Lalav Yotzos, there are 39 malachas. So the Gemara says there's a machlokes hatanaim, Rabbi Yossi Nachacham, what about Havara? Why is it singled out? Lo Sevar Esh B'chol Mosh V'Sechem V'Yoyim HaShabbos. So one Tan is of the opinion, Havara only has a lav, and there's no koris on Havara. So Tosfos has one opinion, if Havara Lalav Yotz is no Koris, it doesn't carry over to Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, there are only 38 Isurim, only 38 Malachas, and Havara is Mutta. The other day in Tosfos says, no, even if you hold Havara Lalav Yotz, but it's still a Malacha. What do you mean? It is a Malacha. So that's a question, to what extent do you carry over all the Dinim of Shabbos to Yom Tov? So the bottom line, the three different opinions. If you hold that Truman, is there Raisa? How much is there Raisa? Is it only on Shabbos? Is it even on Yom Kippur? Or is it even on Yom Tov? There's a Sefer that was printed in Paris in the 1800s that's called Maisa Nisim. So this Sefer, Maisa Nisim, now they print it in the back of the standard editions of the Sefer HaMitzvos L'Rama. This Maisa Nisim has the correspondence between Rav Daniel HaBavli and Rabbi Avram ben Aram. So whenever Rav Soloveitchik used to quote that Sefer, so he always used to make a comment in Yiddish, he always used to say, he doesn't know why they called it Maisa Nisim. He never saw any Nisim in the floors in the Sefer. It's all Lom de Shizach, and he talks and learning about the Rambam. So he never read, the Rav never read the first page of the book. On the Shar Blot, on the title page of the book, it says that Mr. Nisim paid for the printing of the book in Paris in the 1800s, and that's why they're calling it Maisa Nisim, because the one who paid for the printing is Mr. Nisim. You're not supposed to see any Nisim in the floors there. So here, the Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Erev discusses this pasuk. If you should assume that Truman is their Isa, is that the Pshuta Shal Mikra? Al Yetze Ish Memkoma Bayom HaShvi means you're not allowed to go Chutz L'Trum? Or should we say, no, Truman is their Isa, but the Pshuta Shal Mikra is Al Yetze means Al Yotzi. You shouldn't walk out V'Kela B'Yodo. The Pshuta Shal Mikra means you're not allowed to carry your pots and pans to collect the mon. But as an additional level of interpretation, it's alluding to going chutz l'tchum. What's the difference whether tchum and it's pshutu shal mikra or pshutu shal mikra goes on hoitzor? Al yetzish mimkama the kelo biyado, and tchum is only an additional level of interpretation. So the Gemara says the nafkamina will chap whether there's malchus or not. You only get malchus on a lab that's zumi the lab da chasima. If it's pshutu shal mikra, then there's malchus. If it's an additional level of interpretation of the Torah Shebaal Peh, then there won't be any malchus. So that's the Gemara, the end of the first perek in Eridan. There are more paskins that all of Tchumen is the Rabbanon. And nonetheless, the Gemara says on Bamem Adlikin that Erve Tchumen is more chomer than Erve Chatzeres. When you get to Bein Hashmoshes, the Gemara presents it as if there's a stirim in Ebe in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shlosh advarim sorachom. Sorachom alom v'sech besa erev Shabbos im chashecha yisartem heraptem hadliku asaner. So the Gemara says, Eraptem, he has to tell his wife, Eraptem, did you make the erev? Im chashecha means before Bein Hashmoshes. You shouldn't make an erev Bein Hashmoshes. Then the Mishnah continues, the next line, Sofek chashecha savagena chashecha eme asan asadvad abein matbim v'sakel im adliku asaner abom asan asadamai. It says Ma'arvin. You may make an Erev Bein Hashmoshes. So what is it? First it says Eraftem Samachla Im Chashecha before Bein Hashmoshes. You shouldn't do it Bein Hashmoshes. Then it says Savik Chashecha Savikere Chashecha Bein Hashmoshes. You may make an Erev. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to make an Erev Bein Hashmoshes that goes on Eruv Tchumen. That's Mochomer. And Ma'arvin goes on Eruv Chatzeres. That's Kal. Eruv Chatzeres you're permitted to do Bein Hashmoshes. Eruv Tchumen, you're not allowed to do Bein Hashmoshes. Why is Eruv Tchumen more chomer than Eruv Chatzeres? So Rashi and Tosis say, because Tchumen has a pasuk. Eruv Chatzeres was invented by Shlomo HaMelech. That's purely a din d'rabban. Eruv Tchumen, that's a real din d'oraisa. Tchumen is a din d'oraisa. And then the Rishonim add on, Rashi and Tosis add on, and even if you say the way we paskin, all Tchumen is only the Rabbanon, but still has an asmachta in the pasuk. So because it has an asmachta, that's a din derabanan chomer. That's interesting. People often think that asmachta is only a remez biyama. You can take the New York Times and make a gematria, Rashi Tevis. You can take the telephone book and make a Rashi Tevis or a gematria. So you can make any asmachta you want on the chumash. It doesn't mean anything. If you assume like that, it's only a mnemonic device to remember what the din is. So then why should a din derabbanan has an asmachta be mochomer that a din derabbanan doesn't have an asmachta? So the Rishonim here, Bama Malikin, are assuming like there's a famous ritva in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. In the first parak of Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, Mepneima omra toira imru lefonai malchias. Why did Rabbanu Shalom tell us to recite malchias, lechenos, and shofars? So many Rishonim assume that malchias and shofars is only derabbanan. So what do you mean, Mepneima omra toira? So the ritva says, because you have an asmachta in the Psukim. The Gemara learns that Hamalchus Rana Shavus and Psukim is an Asmachta. And then Yadzan Kibalna Mirabi Seina, we have a tradition that Asmachta doesn't mean just a mnemonic device to remember the din. In which case, he can make an Asmachta on the New York Times. He can even make on the Daily News, on the New York Post, he can make an Asmachta on anything. Rosh Tevis or Gematria. No, Asmachta means that this was the author's intention. When the Rebbe Shlomo dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, so he dictated in such a way, there are human beings who wrote books and poems with more than one interpretation. The author had more than one kavana. So we assumed he had an open kavana and he had a hidden kavana. So when the Rebbe Shlomo dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, so he had more than one kavana. Achaz Dibra Lakim Shtaim Zusha Maite, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated one text of a pasuk, but it has more than one level of interpretation. That's how the Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin. Achaz Dibra Lakim Shtaim Zusha Maite. There's a pasuk in Tilim. Achaz Dibra Lakim, I think it's in Tilim. Shtaim Zu Shamaiti. So when the Rebbe Shlomo dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he dictated in such a way that he had certain intentions, were the author's intention, he wanted those, you should read in between the lines, or those should be dinim deraisa. And certain intentions, he was merames, he wanted the Chachamim to come at some later date in history and introduce a din derabbanan. But the din derabbanan was also the author's intention. So whenever there's a din derabbanan that has an asmachta chashuva, sometimes it's asmachta bi'alma. That's how the Prima Gadim says. There's an asmachta chashuva, and then there's an asmachta bi'alma. So when you have an asmachta chashuva, we assume that was taka, the author's intention. The Bnei Shalom wanted that. So it's like a din derabbanan that has the Bezon Shalmaila was maskim. The Rabban Shalom was meramis. He was winking to the Chachamim that he wants him to make his Hachadin the Rabbanim. And sometimes you just have Asmachta Biyama. Asmachta Biyama means that it's a mnemonic device. That's how the Prima Godim suggests. Prima Godim says maybe Speka the Rabbanu Lakula maybe does not apply to a din the Rabbanu that has an Asmachta Chashuva. He says, well, only Asmachta Biyama, that's only a mnemonic device. But it's Asmachta Chashuva, then you have to treat it like a din the Rabbanu. So that's what the Rishonim say here. That Erevech Tchumen is more chomer than Erevech Hatzeres with respect to Ben Hashmashes, because either Tchumen is the Raisa, or even if you hold the way the Ramot Paskins, that the whole topic of Tchumen is only the Rabbanon, but it has an Asmachta in the Pasuk. Al Yetzi Ish Mem Koma by Yom Hashvi. It has an Asmachta, so it's more choshuv. There is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raivin in Hilchas Mamrim, and the Rambam starts off Hilchas Mamrim that the Bez Nagorol and Yerushalayim are the Mudi HaHoiroh, they're the Ikar Torah Shebaal Peh, they're the ones who are supposed to transmit the Masor of Torah Shebaal Peh from generation to generation, and they have the right to Paskin all the Shadas, and they have the right to introduce Dinim Derabon. So then the Rambam says, what do you mean? How can they introduce Dinim Abon? What happened to the Pasuk Baltoisif? So the Rambam says, if they're going to pass on a din derabbanan to misrepresent it and act as if it's a din deraisa, if they fool the people into believing that it's a din deraisa, then they're in violation of Baal Tosef. But if they say it's a din derabbanan, then they're not in violation of Baal Tosef. So it's strange. You have to have a Baal Tosef to say it's an issa to tell a lie. You're not allowed to tell a lie. You're not allowed to fool the people. And then the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam and says, no, there's nothing wrong with fooling the people to believe that the Dinim are their eyes.
Maybe we could say, like we said by the Achoso case in Yevamos, that like it's elements of both. It's Baal Tosef and then you could say maybe Enes or Chalais. In Yevamos, what we were just did yesterday about the Achoso, the two Pesukim about Achoso.
Yeah.
Maybe we could say it has elements of both. That it has elements of Baal Tosef and the...
What do you need the Baal Tosef for? If there's an Issa to tell a lie, no? You're not allowed to fool the people. So it's a machlekes, the Rambam, the Raivad, you're allowed to fool the people. The Rambam holds, you're not allowed to fool the people because of Baal Tosef. And the Raivad says, you are allowed to fool the people. They both don't make any sense. Should have been also to fool the people. You're not allowed to say Sheker. So Rav Soloveitchik, this is quoted in Yerideya. Because the Rambam gives a mashal that Bsar Oif Becholav is only the Rabbanon. So if the Bezdin will misrepresent and make believe as if Bsar Oif Becholav is an Issa, the Raya said Bezdin will be in violation of Baal Tosef. So the Shach quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Bas Becholav, in Chelek Aleph Yerideya, that the Bezdin should not misrepresent. They shouldn't say that Bsar Oif Becholav is an Issa, the Raya. When we learned that Shach, Sir Rav Soloveitchik commented, the whole Rambam and Ravid don't make any sense. So he said he heard from his grandfather, Rav Chaim, the Rambam and the Ravid, that's not what they're fighting about. Everybody agrees you're not allowed to tell a lie. The Rambam meant to say you're not allowed to be machmir on a din derabbanan to the same extent as a din deraisa. The dinim have to be different. If you'll observe a din derabbanan to the same extent that you observe a din deraisa, so that's a violation of Baal Tosef. And that's what the Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says that's why they made asmachtas. A lot of times they made a din derabbanan with an asmachta. Asmachta means that you machmer on the din derabbanan to the same extent that you machmer on a din derais. So when the Ravid writes the Hasoge, he writes, the many times in the Gemara they say a din is only derabbanan, ukro asmachta bi alma. The Ravid says that an asmachta bi alma. The Prima Godim said a difference between an asmachta and an asmachta bi alma. He says an asmachta chashuva, you should say sveika derabbanan lechumr. Asmachta bi'alma, that's only lezich and dvar bi'alma, that's, you would say the speka derabbanan lekula. But the way Rav Soloveitchik was saying over this interpretation, the Ravid uses the Loshen for the Gemara, asmachta bi'alma. He's interpreting the Ravid to say that even there, yeah, they had a right to be machmer on a din derabbanan if they make an asmachta bi'alma. It's a good point. I don't know. That's how Rav Soloveitchik thought. That here the Rambam is saying you're not allowed to introduce a din derabbanan. Maybe you have to have in other areas. On the level of the Rashi, you have to have some other difference in some other area. But the Rambam, he was interpreting the Rambam. that the Rambam means to say, you're not, it's not proper to be machmer on dinim derabbanan to the same extent as dinim derais. We have the Ravid in it, printed on the bottom of the Rif in the first perek of Sochim. The Gemara says that since bedikas chametz is only midrabbanan, so we would trust the cotton when he says he was by the chametz. Emnu rabbanan midrabbanan. That's how the Gemara says. So the Ravid has a comment. He wrote it in his comments on the Rif, but he comments on the Gemara. He says, in all other dinim derabbanan, we have a clause that tzveika derabbanan lekula. We always have to throw in a kula in dinim derabbanan. You're not allowed to be machmer in dinim derabbanan to the same extent as dinim derais. That's how the Ravid writes. This is in contradiction to the way Rav Soloveitchik is interpreting the Ravid on the Rambam. Here the Ravid is saying the same as the Rambam said. You're not allowed to, it's not proper to introduce a din derabbanan with the same achoymer, with the same seriousness, the same strictness as a din derais. So in all other dinim derabbanan, we say sveik derabbanan lekula. When it comes to bedikas chametz, we say sofik lechumra. What do you have to be by the chametz for? Maybe there's no chametz in the house. So the whole bedikas chametz is always ala sofik. And nonetheless, you're machmer, so they had to throw in a different kula. So that's why they had introduced the kula, himnu rabbanon b'drabbanon, that a cotton is neman on bedikas chametz. Because you can't make a din derabbanon that's going to be so chomer like a din deras. You always have to have kulas in the din of derabbanon. So by bedikas chametz, you can't have the kula of sveka derabbanon kula, so they threw in the other kula of himnu rabbanon b'drabbanon. The Pasuk speaks about mon and slov. So when you look in Parshat Bahaloscha, it says Rabbi Shlom is upset over the issue of the slov. The mon, you don't find that he was upset about, but he was upset about the slov. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that look, Rabbi Shlom took him into a midbar, they ran out of food, so they have a taina, we want to have some food. But once they had the mon, so what did they have to have? The kugel, with the cholent, with the dessert, with all the different courses, that they're asking for slav. Well, what's wrong? It's enough that they have mon. Well, what do they have to ask for? Ice cream and luxuries and paradises. What do they need more? So that wasn't right on the part of Bnei Yisrael. That's how Rashi quotes in the Medrash. Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole drosha on this, about the difference between the ochle amon and the ochle aslav. He says, hidden the mamta lechem mocha lechem in ha-shamayim. When the mon came, everybody knew that it was min hashamayim. The mon represents parnasa. You have to have a job. You have to have parnasa. You have to have food to eat. So when the mon came, everybody recognized that the parnasa is min hashamayim. That's fine. The slav, it says, the slav came min hayam. So that people thought that part of their parnasa is coming from this world. They didn't realize that the slav also came in Hashemayim. The pasuk in Mahaloscha says the Ribbono Shel Olam caused the slav to be in the yam, and then the batala slav, the slav came from the yam. So those who didn't have the full vision of what was happening, so they thought that the slav means it comes min hayam, it comes min olam hazeh. Rav Soloveitchik said that the Gemara has in the first daf in Tainus, the gimel maftoches lemosa hakadosh baruch hu biyad shaliach, the Ribbono Shel Olam has malachim who run the whole world. They take care of everything. That when you plant things, they grow, and everything in the world is run by chukei ha-teva. Chukei ha-teva represented by malachim. These malachim represent chukei ha-teva. But there are certain things that the Ribbono Shel Olam is full control on his own. The Gemara says having babies is one of them, and parnasa is another one. Maftecha parnasa, maftecha gshamim. Gshamim is parnasa. If you have an agricultural society, so that's biyodo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if a person thinks that parnasa is bidei adam, if I'll work hard, I'll be a go-getter, I'll be able to make millions of dollars, so then he may cut quarters. He may cut corners. He may start cheating on other people. He may be Mechal Shabbos. He may do things that you're not allowed to do. If a person realizes that parnasa is min ha-shamayim, so he's not going to do crazy things, he'll observe the dinim in the Torah. And happy tochen that the Ribbono Shel Olam will give him the parnasa. Shulchan Aruch, they quote that they recommend that a person should recite, if you have time, they recommend a person should recite Parshas Amon every day to be mechazik the emunah that parnasa is min ha-shamayim. If you have this amuna, Rav Soloveitchik thought this is the main difference between the Orthodox and the others. Orthodox Jews subscribe to the Yisoid and Amunah that Parnosah is Menal Shemayim, and therefore we're not going to violate Shabbos, we're not going to violate the Gezel and Oinor in order to make more money. We believe that you're not going to make more money if you do whatever you want to do. And those who are not observant don't believe in this Yisoid that Parnosah is Menal Shemayim. So he thought that that was the main difference between the Ochle Hamon and the Ochle Aslav. The Ochle Hamon, they all recognize that Hinei Mamta Lachem Lechem Menal Shemayim. In the Slav, the Pasuk describes Vatal Aslav Min Hayom. They thought that it comes Min Olam Hazeh. They didn't realize, as the Pasuk continues to describe in Baha'u'llah Yischa, that the Ribbono Shel Olam caused the Slav to be in the Yam. So all the Parnosa is Min Hashemayim.
But the earthly world still had time, even though they saw where it came from.
Yeah, there were those who were complaining about everything. Yeah, these were the Essen Esyanis, Nisa Abisainu Esamokim, and the Midbar, one after the other in the Psukim.
What is it saying to him that, about the Slav that as they were eating it, Hashem killed them, but we know that's not true? We know it took a while.
That's how it says, Habasu Adena Bein Shinem. It says in Bahaloscha also like that. I don't know. Some people have a practice on Parshas Bishalach that they make schlitzel challah, that they bake challah with a key inside. It's supposed to be a skula for parnas. There's mamish nichush. There's a din in the Torah that you're not allowed to do nichush. We sometimes do things lesimin, toiv. The Gemara says that if you eat the head of a kevis on Leil Rosh Hashanah and you offer a prayer, you atzon sheni'el l'rosh v'lo l'zanov. And if you eat different foods that represent different ideas, and you offer a tefillah, so doing the simen is a simen you offer. That's not a violation of nichush. The Gemara says there's a pasuk losa nachashu, losa onenu. So onenu is miloshen ona zman. So you're not allowed to believe that Friday the 13th is an unlucky day. Other days are lucky. Other days are unlucky. You're not allowed to do things based on which day is lucky, which day is unlucky. So the Nemuki Yosef on the Rif. And that Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara talks about Loisa Nachashu, Loisa Inenu, so the Ramukhi Yosef quotes that there was a machloikis, are you permitted to be medaktek, that you should only get married b'milui halavana, the first half of the month, when the moon is getting bigger and bigger, as a simon that the love for each other is going to grow and grow, as opposed to getting married at the end of the month, and the moon is getting smaller and smaller, as if the love for each other is going to decrease. So there's such a practice, and the Mugersa quotes, they would also felt that that's a violation of Losa Onenu, to believe that this owner, this season of the month, is luckier than the other season. So then the Mugersa says, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes at the beginning of the second Chelek Yeridea, that we say it's permissible, it's only Lesim and Yofer. It's not that we believe that marriage is going to be happier if you get married at the end of the month. If you're picking a date for the wedding, and you can pick this part, that let's say the kallah should wear a white gown. A minig the kallah, a symbol of purity. The tablecloth is white. It doesn't mean that they're going to have a happier marriage because she's going to wear a white gown. A symbol of purity is very nice. They should have a pure, happy marriage together. So you want to do things lisim and yofer. That's not. It doesn't. Not that we believe it's going to be a happier marriage. You're going to wear a white gown. It's a nice thing to do. But let's say, all the catering establishments are all booked for the beginning of the month. And I have to keep on postponing another month until I can get married. B'tchilas achar. What are you so worried about? If you're going to have to postpone your wedding a couple of months, so don't postpone. Just get married at the end of the month. The world is not going to come to an end if you're not going to have the simen yof. If you're picking which day to get married, so pick the beginning of the month as opposed to the end of the month. But you don't place so much credence to it. You don't place any emphasis on it. You want to have a simen yof, but you don't keep on postponing because of that. There's a tshuva sefer. There was a Hungarian Tom Chok, who was killed by the Nazis, who wrote the sefer Eim Abanim Smecha about Zionism. Originally, he was opposed to Zionism, and then in the middle of the Nazi war, he realized that it was ridiculous because they were opposed to Zionism. That's why they were all killed. They could have gone to Eretz Yisrael. They could have been Nitzel. So he wrote a whole book that he has charote from his whole mistaken shita, and everything was wrong. He wrote the whole book. He writes in Budapest. I think he didn't have any svarim at the time, and he quotes everything Baal Peh, unbelievable. He quotes Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Midrashim, and Zohar, and everything all Baal Peh, phenomenal. He was a great Gaon, so he wrote Tshuvas also. So in one of the volumes of it, the Tshuvas, Pula Socher, his name was Yisachar. So in one of the Tshuvas he has, so he says, is it permissible to get married b'sof HaChodesh? He said, is it permissible? Of course it's permissible to get married b'sof HaChodesh. Is there a minig dafket to get married at the beginning? No, there is no such minig to get married at the beginning of the Chodesh. The minig is lahokel, yet you're allowed to insist on getting married. But you're not mechuyev. He said, no one ever said you're mechuyev to get married. We allow you, we say, you're not in violation of lo yisa aneinu if you have a calendar and you try to pick the beginning of the month. But is it permissible? Of course it's permissible. There's no shayla. He said, there never was such a minig bedavket to insist. You look in Shulchan Aruch Taka, that's what it says.
What is the
significance
of a siman if it doesn't actually
affect it? The Nesivus writes in his Sefer Nachlas Yaakov that the Iker is the tefillah. And Leil Rosh Hashanah, when you eat all of these things, so you have to offer a tefillah, she neil le rosh v'lo lezorav, she yir b'zchui yaseinu, and so on. So he says, just like the Ramban HaChumish says, based on Psukim and Novi, that there's a nevuah, where the Novi just delivers a message. There's a Nevuah with a Poel Dimyon. The Baruch Shalom tells the Novi, you should take this, and you should eat this, and you should go to sleep on your left side, your right side, do this, do that, do the other thing. So the Ramban explains that a Nevuah with a Poel Dimyon is stronger than a Nevuah without a Poel Dimyon. If you're not acting it out, it's a lower level of Nevuah. Ramban gives you enough kamina. So he says, if you offer a Tefillah with a Poel Dimyon, so that Tefillah is going to be stronger than a Tefillah without a Poel Dimyon. But he says the main aspect of the Simonim Aleil Rosh Hashanah is to offer the tefillahs. The parsha ends off with Melchemes Amalek, and then the Rebbeinu Shalom instructs Moshe Rabbeinu Ksov Zosikar Masef and Simbi Yosdem Shua Kemocha Em Chazecha Amalek. So the Gemara has in the first perik in Maseches Megillah that this pasuk is the mocha for the institution of the Tanakh. How did that Chachamim know that they had a right to add on to the Chamishu Chumshi Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah. Then they added on Yeshua Shoftim Shmuel Malachim. Who gave them the right to add on? The Bez Nagol was discussing, should be add on Yecheskel, should be add on Mishle, is it Chochma Shloima, is it Baruch HaKodesh? Even if it is Baruch HaKodesh, who gave them permission to add it on? Where did they get the Ein Fall from that there's more than Chamishu Chumshi Torah? So the Gemara says it's based on this Pasuk. So Zos, the Korah Masefer, Zos is a reference to Chumash, Zikorin is a reference to Nevi'im, and Basef is a reference to Ksuvim. So I think we discussed it earlier this year. Zos is Zehadover. Zos because the Chumash was direct dictation, word for word and letter for letter to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why it's called Zos, like Zehadover. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was a higher level than the other prophets because it was direct dictation, as opposed to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Then Zikorin is Lahazikir. The Nevuah had to first be delivered. The Navi had to first deliver the message to Bnei Yisrael, and then he wrote it down. As opposed to Ksuvim, that's what Rav Chaim says. What's the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? Rav Chaim quotes the Mor Nevuchim. Mor Nevuchim says that the Nevi'im were on a higher level of Ruach HaKodesh than Ksuvim. Rav Chaim says he's not convinced that that's correct. He thought the main difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim is that the Nevi'im had to first bury Nivs Vasoyim. Nevuah had to first be delivered Baal Peh. After it was delivered, then it was Nitan Lehikosev, as opposed to Ksuvim. It's called Ksuvim because Nitan Lehikosev Melech Atchila. So that's what the Gemara understands. Zos, the Karma Sefer, is the mocker for the Yisoid of Tanakh. I would never have realized that. I heard this once from Simcha Wasserman. Rabbi Chana Wasserman had a son who lived in America. He lived in California. He died already 30 years ago. So he once gave a shiur here in the neighborhood, so I remember I was surprised. He pointed this out in the shiur. The Gemara and Megillah, in the first parak, says that this pasuk is the mocker for the institution of Tanakh. I think I heard it from him. Then the concluding pasuk, Ki Odal Keis Komo, Chamal Hashem Ba'amolik Midor Dor, so Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, why does it say Keis Ko, it should say Kisei, and Yud Kei Vav Kei. So he quotes, Kol Zman Sha'amolik Ba'olam, Ein Hashem Sholem, Ein HaKisei Sholem. The throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incomplete. What does it mean, Kibay Yochel? The throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means he's the king. He's the Melech HaOlam. So the Melech means that he has power, he has full control over the whole world. So the way things are today, when we have Amalek, Amalek means that you see Tzarek Virala Rosh HaVetovlo. Amalek represents the problem of evil. we have a big problem. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is a good God, so how come so many bad things happen? So there are those who don't believe in the existence of God, so they don't have any kasha. Those who believe that God created the world, there is a God, but he doesn't pay attention to what's happening. He doesn't know what's happening. It's beneath his dignity to read the newspapers to find out what's going on in this world. So we don't believe that. We believe that God knows what's going on in the world. Those who believe God has no power over the world. He does not control. So what can he do? We don't believe in that. That those who believe there are two gods, a God of good, a God of evil, we don't believe in that either. We believe in one God who is a good God, who knows what's happening, and he does have control over the world, and he cares about everything, and the same God who gave the moral, ethical, and religious laws is the God who controls all of nature. How in the world do you have Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rasha V'Tovo? It's a murderous kasha. So the Gemara says, that's called Miut HaLavana. When we say Kiddush Levana, so we're worried about Iran, we're worried about Obama, we're worried about so many different things. The only thing we pray for in Kiddush Levana, Yiratzon Melefanecha, Shetemale Pegimus HaLavana. Who cares about the Pegimus HaLavana? From all the things on the list of things that we're worried about, they're worried about Beit Shemesh, and Eretz Yisrael, they're fighting more about Beit Shemesh than they are about Iran. They're worried more about Beit Shemesh. There are things that the people are worried about. Who in the world... So Nishtan Linket Peya, no one is worrying about the Begimus Halvon. So Begimus Halvon is a Kabbalistic expression, a term that represents Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rosh HaVetovo. Originally, the Chama and Halvon were both the same size. Shnei Amoris HaGdolim. Then all of a sudden, the Pasuk says, Hamor HaGadol HaMishel HaSeyam, Hamor HaKadol HaMishel HaLaila. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Halvon shrink. He said, L'chi Umati Esatzmeh. So the Halvon is crying, that's not fair, what did I do? Tzadik V'Ra'ala, why am I suffering? I used to be Shnei Amoris HaGdolim, and all of a sudden the Ribbono Shel Olam punished me. So the Gemara tells you the background. The Levana went to snitch and she was complaining. She wanted that the Ribbono Shel Olam should be Ma'ita Chava. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam punished them. Okay, so that's the background, but people don't know that. So Levana goes around crying. It's not fair. It's not Tzadik V'Ra'ala, Rosh HaVetovlo. So that's what the term Miut HaLevana means. The Ribbono Shel Olam should resolve this issue, the problem of evil. There shouldn't be any Tzadik V'Ra'ala Rosh HaVetovlo. Everything, we should see everything is right. So that's why we say that Ein Akisei Shalom, Kol Zman Yehav HaMolek Bo'olam, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means the king has full control over his country. So it looks as if Kevayochol, the perception is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not really Shalit by love, as if he's not a full Melech. He doesn't have the Malchus. That's why the Tzlach writes in the end of Brochus. Tzlach is by the Nerd of Yehuda, commentary on the Gemara Brochus. So he writes that the name Yerushalayim appears in Tarach more than 660 times, I think. And except for three places, it's always spelled Choser. Yerushalayim, missing the second Yud. That's how they spell it in Ksubis and in Gittin. One of my daughters got married in Yerushalayim. So they spell it Choser in the Ksubis and in the Gittin. That was always the meaning. So the reason why is because it says in Yirmiyah that Yerushalayim will be called, known at the beginning of Yirmiyah, Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet, Yerushalayim will be known as Kisei Hashem. That's going to be the official throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribbono Shel Olam will be recognized as the Melech HaOlam. Ein HaKisei Shalom. Calls man that HaMolech HaOlam. Ein HaKisei Shalom. So that's why Yerushalayim is spelled Chaser, because the Kisei is incomplete. Yerushalayim is the Kisei Hashem. And one of the three psukim, the way Yerushalayim is spelled Malay, one of them is Vayi B'Shalom Suko, a pasuk in Tilim, Vayi B'Shalom Suko. It goes on La'osid Lavoi. La'osid Lavoi, when the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be complete, then Yerushalayim will be spelled Molech. But calls man that HaMolech Ba'olam, the perception is as if the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incomplete, as if he doesn't have, as if he's not in full control of what's happening in the world. And what is Ein Hashem Shalom? How come Yudke Vavke is not spelled there? How come it's only Yudke? Because Kozman Shamalik Ba'olam Ein Hashem Shalom. So Rav Soloveitchik said the name of his father. The Rambam writes in Hilchos, he said, Atar, when he quotes the din, there are Zayin Shemesh in the Mechokim, you're not allowed to erase the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it says you should destroy the names of the Avodah Zarah. Then it says, Losasin Kein Lashamakech, in the next Pasuk. So the Rambam gives you the list from the Gemara Shavuot's list of the Zayin Shemesh. So the Rambam says, the name Yud Ke is Miktsas Men Hashem Hamfarish. It's part of the name Yud Ke Vav Ke. So people usually assume Yud Ke is the first two letters of Yud Ke Vav Ke. Boshib Shad. So he said his father didn't think so. He thought that the Yud is the first letter, and the Hey is the last letter of Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's not the first letter. He had a comment on him in Chas Chinuch on this. So he said Yud Kei Vav Kei represents the idea of Hoya Hoya V'Yihyeh. Yud always represents Ya'aseh Osid. And also has a Hey at the end. So past tense is represented by the Hey at the end of the word. So Yud represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Yihyeh. And the last Hey in Yud Kei Vav Kei represent Hashem was the Melech in the past. And the Hey Vav in the middle is Hoveh. So Kol Zman and Amalek Ba'olam, the Hoveh is missing. The Osid, there's going to be a glorious future. Rabbanu Shalom is going to be the Melech al Kol Olam. In the past, Sheshes Mei Breshes, the Rabbanu Shalom was the Melech, he was in full control of everything. And the missing part is the Hoveh is missing. So the Yud Kei is Mixes Ben Amshem Amfarish, because it looks as if the Rabbanu Shalom is not in control by Hoveh. He was only controlled by Ovar, that's the last day. So he will be controlled in the future. And the Hoveh is missing. That's how we answered the Minchas Chinuch as a taina. When you write Yud Kei Vav Kei, so when you write Yud Kei, you already have a Shem Hashem, so you're not allowed to erase it. When you write Yud Kei, then you write Vav, you just ruined the Shem Hashem. Yeah, when you wrote Yud Kei, you had a Shem Hashem. When you write the Vav, so you just ruined it. So in a certain sense, it's Mechikas Hashem. You didn't do Mechikas Hashem, but you made it Ois Shem Hashem by adding the extra letter. So the Minchas Chinuch raises the possibility, maybe you should write the Yud Kei Vav Kei backwards. Because if you're going to write Yud Kei first, you're going to write the Vav next, and it's going to be you're ruining the Shem Kop. So he says, no, he quotes the Mishnas Chachamim, the Pischei Tshuva quotes Mishnas Chachamim as a commentary on the Rambam. So hardly anybody, nobody looks at it now. They have it in the libraries. They hardly ever look at it. Years ago, it was the days of 150 years ago was the latest thing. Everybody was reading Mishnas Chachamim. So he has a Chumrah that Pischei Tshuva quotes, that just like Tefillin and Mezuzah has to be written Kisidron, so maybe Shem Hashem and the Sefer Torah also has to be written Kisidron. So you can't write it backwards. Then he suggests, okay, so you have no choice. You have to write Yud Kei, then you have to write the Vav, and it ruins the Shem of Yud Kei. Then you write the Hey, so he made it even a higher level. Yud Kei Vav Kei is a higher level of a Shem Hashem than Yud Kei. Except, the Minchas Chinuch raises the possibility, maybe if you write all the four letters B'Vasachas, there's a Mishnah in Yuma that there was a Bar Kamtzor, there was a man who knew a trick. He could hold four pens in between his fingers and write four letters at the same time. And he didn't teach anybody the trick, and the rabbis were upset about him, and he goes down in history, Shem Rishayim Yirkov. We're always going to curse him. Shem Rishayim Yirkov does mean his name should rot, rekev. The resh is extra. It's really Shem Rishayim Yikov. Like a lot of people, and they add an R.
That's himself.
I think it's in Yuma. I think it's a Mishnah in Yuma. So what was the big deal? He knew a trick. Knew a guy in the circus knows how to stand on his head and juggle balls, and he doesn't teach anybody else. So you curse him forever. Shem Rishayim Yirkov. So I think the Tosfos Yontif quotes that there was some who interpreted. He knew how to write Yud Kei Vav Kei B'Vasach. So what's the big mila? So what's so great about that? So the Minchas Chinuch says maybe this is the issue, because whenever you write Yud Kei, then you write Vav, so you're, in a certain sense, you're doing Mechikas Hashem. So that's Minchas Chinuch. So Rav Soloveitchik said his father had a comment on the Minchas Chinuch. He doesn't think that that's an issue. When you write Ko, it's a Shem Hashem, it's the first Yud of Yud Kei Vav Kei and the last Hey. So when you're writing Yud Kei Vav Kei, you have in mind the first Hey of Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's not a Shem Ko. It's only a Shem Ko if you have the first Yud of Yud Kei Vav Kei and the last Hey, because the Yud represents Lossi Lavai. The last Hey represents Lashava, and what's missing is the Hey Vav in the middle. But Hoved looks as if the perception is as if the Rabbanu Shalom is not in charge. No, that's when Amalek will be wiped out. In the end of days, Amalek will be wiped out. There won't be a problem of evil. We won't see any Tzaddik Ra, the Rosh of Etobel. So then it will be Akis and Shalom and Hashem Shalom. Yerushalayim will be Molech. Okay, so I mentioned that next week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I won't be able to give Shir. Maybe I'll be able to give by Skype. I'll see if that's a possibility. Okay.